in our country, in Switzerland.
Now we're talking about the lecture that you gave before the French Chemical Society, yes, yeah, in 1949.
L'arrangement des macromolécules dans les solides.
Arrangement of, yes, macromolecules, yes, in, yes, solids. Yes. And it was published in a bulletin of the Société Chimique.
Bulletin de la Société,
yeah, Chimique.
Chimique.
De France.
Yeah.
Now, would you like to talk about,
yes,
this for a while?
Because we were very interested in using the electron microscope. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I was asked by a Swiss firm working in textiles whether one could, by the electron microscope, see something about the structure of fibers. And we specialized in the reprint of the surface of solids. Solids, especially fibers.
Yes.
And then what came out looks like this.
And we have some beautiful photographs,
yes,
here.
Yes. That's cellulose, mm-hmm, with a strange strenge of macromolecules. Mm-hmm. And that's wool with this very interesting surface. Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference here between the cellulose
and wool. Yes.
And what causes this difference? Is it in the cross-link? Is it the cross-linking or
no? With the cellulose, it's clear.
Yeah.
There is a motion of the material inside the cell in which the macromolecules are dissolved. Mm-hmm. And there is a spiral-like arrangement.
Spiral-like,
yes, arrangements, yes, which is to be seen.
Mm-hmm. You're always talking about these regions of crystallized material,
yes,
which you called crystallites.
Yes, yeah.
And that's why you can actually,
yes,
and use
then,
the method.
Yes. There was an old observation that acetylated cellulose, mm-hmm, different products gave a flow by refringence like this. Mm-hmm. That means at low flow gradients, mm-hmm, one had already a very peak by refringence, which only very small increased by increasing flow velocity.
Yes, we're talking
then,
about figure 2 here in,
yes,
the publication.
And my idea was that to produce such a big by refringence, mm-hmm, by small flowing rates, mm-hmm, there must be big particles, micelles of the cellulose, mm-hmm, which are not dissolved in molecules.
Mm-hmm.
And
into
other
molecules, yeah,
into molecules. Other acetyl celluloses gave this normal increase, mm-hmm, of the streaming by refriction, mm-hmm, with the gradient.
Mm-hmm.
And then by electron microscopy,
yes,
one saw that this material gave a picture like this,
mm-hmm,
where
like
you see
on the right side,
yes,
here,
and this one,
that's
where the molecules
four,
as are dissolved, gave in the same concentration, in the same manner of preparation, such a film without these big,
yeah,
particles.
Figure 3.
Though it was a very good proof that our idea, the by refringence, there must be big molecules which orientate easily,
mm-hmm,
that is right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say about electron microscopy, which was a work over over years until we had the method which was sufficient to be used.
So in other words, the cellulose is organized in domains.
Yes,
you call
yes.
them domains.
Yes, yes.
And then you can see the structure.
But, yes. And now the work over the counter-current distribution.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Dechema publication,
yes,
laboratory apparatus,
yes.
which you developed.
I developed a
new apparatus.
Yes, and this apparatus is now applied by Dr. Brenner.
Mm-hmm.
He was earlier interested in the synthesis of peptides,
mm-hmm.
and he told me, it's 2 months ago, he visited me and said that he works in this field which I created now with high intensity. They come together each year, once in Europe, once in the States, all the people interested in peptides and proteins.
Mm-hmm.
And he works now with this apparatus. Well,
that's on page 5, that's figure 2 on
yes.
page 5.
Yes, where 2 currents
mm-hmm.
flow one against the other.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that is comes in here and goes out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the lighter fluid which goes
on
in
top.
This direction.
Yes.
And you can introduce by this tube at any place
number
of the
11.
Whole
yes,
apparatus
mm-hmm.
the mixture. And mm-hmm. he says now his apparatus, according this principle,
yes.
is able to separate the mixture of many proteins
mm-hmm.
because part of the proteins more soluble in one solvent
mm-hmm.
goes in one direction
mm-hmm.
and the other in the other direction
mm-hmm.
and you can choose the velocities of the 2 solvents so that the wanted protein stays in the middle. It spreads very not very quickly,
slowly.
Mm-hmm. It spreads over mm-hmm. the apparatus
mm-hmm.
and all other proteins are already out of the apparatus.
You can actually separate one out of a mixture of many?
One out of the mixtures,
uh-huh.
yes.
And it's
not
used
an enormous quantity,
no,
only the quantity which at the end
mm-hmm.
fills the whole apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
But he has the idea that's a very important method
apparatus.
To separate one protein which does only differ a little bit from the others.
Yes. Do they call it the Signer apparatus?
I asked him.
Yes.
And he said no. It.
They don't?
He will do
it's
it.
Not fair. He will call it the Signer apparatus.
Yes. And now?
That was in 1956, that publication. And maybe you want to talk about esterification of cellulose and the separation
that's
principles. But that was really...
Which number is it?
Monatshefte für Chemie in 1950.
Ah, yes. That's what I showed you. By
the electron microscope, yes.
Where
yes.
One has in one preparation only the molecules
mm-hmm.
and in the other the molecules
oh,
with
see.
A small quantity
uh-huh.
of bigger particles.
I see. So this is an application of the
electron microscopy and streaming by refringence.
Right.
And
well,
then one of the newest is the here is another Staudinger was right. Mm-hmm. I do always new things.
Yes, yes.
Polystyrenes can dissolve in some solvents with a high viscosity and in other solvents with a low viscosity, mm-hmm. the same material. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that in the solvents in which the viscosity is high, the solvent penetrates in these clouds of molecules very intensively.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other solvents, it's just able to dissolve, but the molecules are close to,
clusters,
yes.
Or tangled up.
Yes, and then I had the idea that these two types of solvent mm-hmm. should have quite different thermodynamical interactions with the small fragments of the molecules.
Mm-hmm.
And we took as an example ethyl benzol, mm-hmm. which is the smallest part of polystyrene,
mm-hmm.
and a good solvent which dissolves the polystyrene with a high viscosity is toluol,
mm-hmm.
which is very
toluene
chemically related with the ethyl benzol,
mm-hmm.
and a back solvent which makes low viscosity is methyl ethyl ketol.
Mm-hmm.
And then I give to my colleague Arm
mm-hmm.
the idea that he should exact thermodynamical investigation of mixtures from ethyl benzol with toluol as a good mm-hmm. solvent mm-hmm. and methyl ethyl ketone as a bad solvent.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what he measured, mixing heats, mm-hmm. then vapor pressures mm-hmm. over the whole range of composition,
mm-hmm.
and the result is here.
Mm-hmm. That is, now we're talking about a publication on thermodynamic measurements
on
mixtures of ethyl benzene and toluene
and
methyl ethyl ketone, and it's published in Helvetica Chemica Acta in 57, and it's dedicated to Professor Reichstein on his 60th birthday.
That's possible.
That's what it says, yes.
And Herr Professor Reichstein,
right,
zum 60. Geburtstag.
Right, and you want to talk about this last
You see,
phase diagram?
These mixtures
mm-hmm.
from 0 to 100%
mm-hmm.
gives very extreme effects.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have the delta G.
Delta
here.
G,
yes.
And in the
enthalpy.
T enthalpy, yes.
Yeah.
And
T
the
delta
same
S.
diagram
mm-hmm.
for the other combination
mm-hmm.
of ethyl benzol with toluol,
mm-hmm.
that is said in one sentence,
mm-hmm.
would give all three quantities very near the zero line.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that ethyl benzene has very different behavior with toluene, which would give these three things horizontally, and methyl ethyl ketone. So that the difference of the viscosity of
mm-hmm.
polystyrene in
mm-hmm.
these two solvents goes for a part back to the thermodynamic interactions of the small fragments with the two different solvents.
I see. Well, that's very interesting.
And then which year is that? Very short for
1957.
Yes, and I retired.
Yes, in 1957, and you retired.
1972. Like this, yes.
I think.
So that was made in my last. And one of my colleagues' arm goes on in this direction.
In this direction. So actually, we have now reached the point where we can talk about your retirement.
Yes. Yes.
From the university.
Yes.
In 1972. And
there is only one thing.
They want to talk about something else.
I talk of this colleague coming from Hungria, which is now director of the Harko Gesellschaft.
Yeah. What was his name?
His name is Gahl, Stefan Gahl.
Gahl, yes.
And the number of the publication is 209.
And what was the name? Oh, yes. Well, that's what we talked about earlier in the casein.
Yes.
The casein story and
where
the effect of sodium.
That's right, yes.
And
here you have the
chlorine
picture.
Ions.
That's the water vapor sorption of poor casein. And of casein with mixtures of sodium chloride. Then you see up to a certain quantity of sodium chloride, the water vapor sorption increases very strong, and then there is no further increase. And that's very simple to explain. The casein, like a liquid, is able to dissolve a certain quantity of sodium chloride. And when this quantity is reached, and you have a mixture with more sodium chloride, then the sodium chloride is crystalline in the material and has no sorption, water sorption power.
I see. And the name of the publication is the bonding of sodium and chlorine ions
by
casein, and it's from Macromolecular Chemistry, and the publication is dated from 1961. Could we talk a little bit about your retirement now?
Yes.
After we have talked extensively about your work, and we're going to 1972, when you gave up your position in Bern.
It was.
At age, how old are you then?
At that time,
you were older than 65.
Either as his will, between 65 and 70.
Oh, I see.
And
I
now
see.
There is a new law in Bern that one has to retire with 65.
Oh, I see.
And the faculty had to replace in the last weeks all professors between 65 and 70.
All at once?
All at once. And they had an enormous work.
Oh my goodness.
To find the succeeders.
Yes, that was not a very, very well thought out idea.
But I was 69 and a half when I gave the last lectures. Oh. And I did it over 37 years, each year with the same enthusiasm.
And your students must have given you a great round of applause after lecture.
Yes.
And was it difficult to retire, or was it easy? Was it difficult to retire?
Oh, not at all.
Not at all.
Because I had long before the big garden.
Yes.
And I had not the time to do the most dringliche...
urgent work.
And when I retired, I had the idea I would do some chemical work in one or the other direction. But then I had so much to see and to do and to enjoy in the garden that I really left the institution at once.
That's good. And so you had your big hobby was gardening.
That's it. Yes, yes. And then I had the idea when I came to Bern, nobody gave me direction how I should instruct the students, and so I think all my younger colleagues working now, they are happy when they can do things as they want. Without seeing that the old man has quite different ideas. They changed the plans of instruction very much.
Yes, they did. They changed the structure.
I think it was good to change
the curriculum,
but for my time, I still have the idea it was done not so bad.
For your time. Of course, when you were there, polymer chemistry dominated organic chemistry. And I read that after you left, it was synthetic organic chemistry.
Yes, that's right.
Which, again, it was the time for it, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
It's time
I did not follow, during my time, all this development of reaction mechanism.
Yes.
And I think my students got not enough of these ideas.
Oh, is that what
but
you think
got,
now?
They got some ideas in the fields of the macromolecules.
Of course.
So it's very good that younger men teach now what young and new organic chemistry has evolved.
Has to know, And I think that's a very wise insight from your part. You have also had quite some honors. You got the Lavoisier Medal.
Yes, and then the...
What year was that? Do you remember that?
Me?
What year did you get that? Do you remember it approximately?
Perhaps quickly find the medal and you look find on the back
side. Would find the year. Well, we'll look at this later.
I think it was the year when I gave this lecture
to the French, Chemical Society.
Yes, yes. And then the Rockefeller stipendium.
You got that,
something which I can be proud on. And then I got the second Rockefeller stipendium, a special stipendium. And the direction of the Rockefeller Foundation was, go to the United States, go to all the people which by your work and their work have relations. So you can discuss with them your problems as you look at them, and they look at them. And then I had a list of perhaps 6 professors which I visited.
Could you tell me who you visited? Do you remember some?
Yes,
at least
Debye was one.
Debye,
the physical,
yes,
great physicist. And I had a very nice time with him. He was
Where was Debye then? Well, doesn't matter really.
That's all right.
We can find out.
I was his collaborator, Scheraga, greeted me and said, "Ah, oh, you are the father of the streaming by reflection."
and
then Debye took me, that may you give the place where he is. He took me for the Mittagessen.
Yes.
there was a part of the university for women to learn cooking and household.
Oh, you got me there. I have no idea where it was.
And then he took me there, and we were served by these people, and he said that this part of this school. From the by, I must tell you something. When he was in Germany, he had many collaborators, and then Hitler and their men tried to put out several of them. And Dubai said, I think to Hitler himself, in diesem Haus bin ich der Führer.
Oh, my goodness, in this house I am the Führer. Were they Jewish that they were put out?
Or? Yes. Staudinger had several, which had a grandmother, was Jewish,
that was sufficient
to put them out.
Oh,
yeah.
This is awful.
Yes.
So, you visited Dubai in the United States.
Yes.
And who else did you see?
In Wisconsin, there was a colleague of Swedberg, and they together developed the first ultracentrifuge. I don't remember the name. But I had a very nice time with him, and he told me that not far away were a Swiss colony, Glarus.
New Glarus, yes.
And
it must have been in Madison,
University of Wisconsin. To this Glarus people, and I spoke with them in
Swiss
their dialect.
German. Yes, this is charming.
And then the man who crystallized the first protein. I am looking whether I can get the name.
Well, it doesn't matter. Yes. Did you meet Linus Pauling?
No. Pauling I saw later on.
In California or in Europe?
In Europe, yes.
And what about Flory,
with Flory I had a very nice time. And he showed me the journal, Geographical Magazine.
Yeah, Geographical Magazine, yes.
And said it's a very good thing. And when I came home, I was abonnent.
You had a subscription.
Yes, I was several days with Flory.
Yes. So, anything especially that you remember with Flory? Did you visit him
at home, work? Yes.
At home and at work.
And then we had long discussions about macromolecules.
We did.
Yes.
And do you remember any other people? Or, well, it's a long time ago, probably.
Maybe that I could in
but
some
you did
notes
have,
that I...
Yes.
I got a very good instruction from the Rockefeller Institute. They said, if you go now from one place to the other, keep first two or three quiet days in the new place before you ring up. In the moment you ring up, they take you.
You're swamped with invitations. And so it happened.
I came back very happy and in good health.
And it was a great experience.
And
worthwhile.
One interesting thing. What could I do for the Rockefeller Institute or the Rockefeller Foundation? They said, look about young men of which you think they come out good.
In your, at Bern? In Bern,
when you are back, two or three names.
Yes.
That I did.
And you did send them some prominent young men?
Yes, and they were very thankful. That's the way I had the first contact with the Rockefeller Foundation in Uppsala.
Yes.
The foundation gave Svedberg much money to develop the ultracentrifuge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And during the time I was there, it was worth the half year, and then I went two or three times later with new substances which I like to be investigated in the ultracentrifuge.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw there Mr. Teasdale. He was one of the officers of the Rockefeller Foundation,
mm-hmm.
which visited Europe from
mm-hmm.
time to
mm-hmm.
time.
Did you lecture in the USA?
No, you were not invited to any formal lectures. I gave one lecture to the man who worked with viruses, Laufer.
Mm-hmm.
And we invited him to come to Bern to give lecture during half a year. And once he invited me for a lecture about streaming double refraction
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in his institute,
mm-hmm.
a special part of streaming by refraction,
mm-hmm.
that seeing the polydispersity, that there are molecules of different molecular weight,
mm-hmm.
and that you saw here by different publications
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
was one of the things I saw with streaming double refraction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he was very interested to see how this streaming double refraction
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
shows polydispersity.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited me to come to what was his place?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh,
yes.
Good. Well, you certainly have had a very rich and varied scientific life. You have over 250